Welcome to the Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the anime podcast that weebs out with its cock out. My name is Matt, reminding you to spay and neuter your cat boys and your cat girls.
And I'm Audrey. And now that you mention it, I'm frustrated we don't see too many Scottish Fold cat girls or cat boys.
Yes, and the Maine Coon cat boy and cat girl who are also giant. They appeal to two niches.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. You can read, and I don't know what the title of this episode's gonna be, because a little peek behind the curtain, I have been working my actual ass off.
Yeah.
And have no time to watch fucking anime.
Yeah, he's been telling me about his situation, and I have been sweating, hoping it's been okay.
Yeah. So here we are. We have no anime to discuss, but instead we have a topic to discuss. We're talking a topic. Wow, how fucking new is that?
It's one of our fabled discussionals we were trying to sell.
Yeah, it's what we were going to say we were going to do it, that like four more months of watching anime and reviewing it.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about something, and I said no. We're never going to talk about anything. Why would you think this podcast would be about something? We're the anti-Seinfeld of anime podcasts.
Otaku Melancholy Podcast, the podcast about something.
It's a podcast about something.
Your audience is going to look back and say, I can really pinpoint where this podcast went really down, and it's right when they started their Patreon and started taking people's money.
Legitimately, that may be it, because ever since then it's been I can't record this week. I can't either. All right, cool, no episode this week.
I hate how it looks. It's just been a horrible coincidence. I swear to God, listeners, it was a horrible coincidence that as soon as our Patreon started, we've been running into complication after complication.
It really is. It's like we set up the Patreon, and the moment we did, everything hit the fucking hit the actual fan at mock speed.
Yeah.
And rained us in fucking a feces shower, because the week after we couldn't record an episode because of so many complications.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that it was seasonals, and Audrey just literally went, I'm about to
like, the East Coast got slammed with a tropical storm, and like I was not in a good mental state for having to watch so many seasonals, and now Matt is having to work with no sleep, pretty much. So, each of us have been hit with some kind of disaster, as if we offended God for somehow.
We asked for money, and God was offended. He was like, "Y'all don't you two." You don't get any fucking financial support, Matt. You're going to be paying for that website for the rest of your goddamn life. And I was like, okay, God, weird flex, saying me damn, but okay. So
God came down like, I am the God of the Protestant work ethic, and I say you're not getting money without putting in effort.
Yeah, so it has literally been an effort just to get this episode out, because we were having a fun little banter before, like, haha, isn't this fun? And then I looked at the clock and I said, hurry up. Fun is over. But yeah. But we are going to talk about something that I feel like is really relevant with both of us, especially because we do an anime podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know how to generate any sort of episode outside of, let's talk about this anime. Audrey, who has, no other suggestions. Okay, I guess. Here I go, killing myself again.
I'm gonna need two ropes for this one.
But yeah, we're gonna talk about anime burnout, the experiences we've had, maybe some solutions to it, and just what it feels like to go through this, especially when you decide your core hobby for the next fucking period of your life is going to be talking about anime.
Yeah.
And how that affects you mentally, physically, and emotionally.
And financially too.
And financially, too. And we'll be talking a little bit about Crunchyroll and Funimation, because Audrey wasn't here to talk about that, and I didn't talk about it too much anyways, outside of saying, you know, hey, screw Funimation.
Yeah.
Once again. But before we dive into that, you know, catch up, whatever. Audrey hasn't been on here for 2 weeks, so.
Yeah.
What you been doing?
Well, I finished up the Bad Batch series on Disney Plus. It's the kind of pseudo-sequel to the Clone Wars saga. And it was really good. Like, every time they go through the intro and they just open up on a, like, just a still frame, I'm like, God damn, this CG is some good shit. You know, good shit. And it's that kind of contributes to some of the anime burnout I've been feeling, because whenever I sit down at my desk for my limited time between work and sleep, I'm like, I gotta spend some time. Do I want to watch the seasonals? Nah, I want to watch some Bad Batch. And, well, I was about to go into a topic, but I'm just talking about what I've been up to. Other than that, I've been playing a bunch of Space Engineers as usual. Started getting back into Gunpla. I cleaned up my room and set up my display shelf and have fully on display all the Gunpla I have not finished, and it's all staring at me right now. So I'm going to slowly go through them, one by one.
Yes, and your noodle plot as well.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's on the list. What about you, dear Matt? What have you
work.
Been up to?
Work. Work. Work! No, but for real, I have been working a lot due to some issues at my workplace. We recently had a lot of people kind of leave and depart from the general sort of area, so mm-hmm. I've been pulling really long shifts and working really hard to try to really fill in the gaps we're missing. And there's been a lot of weird sort of drama in my workplace, and that's been kind of going on too. So I've been working a lot of hours and working really hard, and I have not... Like, for the seasonal episodes, I was already under... I started really getting, like, pressured to really work more hours and stuff. And so I just started watching anime and just on my lunch breaks and any chance I could get. Mm-hmm. It became, like, a thing trying to keep up with the seasonal so that I could do the episodes. But then I kind of just... If you are in our Discord, you know I just spent so much money on light novels and manga. Yeah. So now my entire focus is turned on to reading through those, which has been easier, I guess. It's kind of, while watching anime, I kind of have this mentality of this episode's got to be over. This lunch break is, I'm running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
But with a book I can or a manga, I can just say, okay, I have to stop here. So that's been a little bit helping in the spare moments that I have. And I've been really thankful for that. I finished up all of the Bakemonogatari, books, all three of them. That was a wild ride, and so I just went ahead and said, screw it, I'm working a lot of extra hours, I'm gonna get all the other books.
Yeah, I've noticed, I keep getting updates from Goodreads say, hey, your friend Matt has done some new activity, and I see Bakemonogatari, I'm like, I see.
I forgot you followed me on Goodreads.
Yeah, I'm your I follow you on Goodreads.
Follow me on Goodreads to see me casually spiral into light novel hell.
Like I had, you know, when Gmail has the inbox, social, and promotions.
Yeah.
My social, every day, it's like 5 new emails from Goodreads say, hey, Matt has updated some activity, and it's all Bakemonogatari.
Well, congratulations. Now you're going to be getting Nisei Monogatari notifications whenever they come in.
Although I can't wait.
Although, until that time has come, I am reading through Haruhi now. I am, which, okay, this is going to be a weird sort of gush, why I like Monogatari and why I like Haruhi and why I like Rascal, is that all the series have different names, you know? Like, it's not just Bakemonogatari, you know, it's Nisei Monogatari, it's Neko Monogatari, it's mm-hmm. Hanamonogatari. I love that. And the same thing with Rascal in the books. It's Rascal does not dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. Rascal does not dream of Petite Devil Kohai. Rascal does not dream of Logical Witch. I love that. And yeah. Haruhi is the same way. It's the melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, the sigh of Haruhi Suzumiya, the boredom of Haruhi Suzumiya, the rampage of Haruhi Suzumiya. I love that. I don't know what it is about it, but I love it.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love that too. When I saw a Rascal series in Barnes & Noble, like, does not dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. Does not dream of the other one you said.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, it shows as part of the same overarching series, but it's a different, like, sub-series.
Mm-hmm. It's showing you it's a new arc without you having to go, oh, what One Piece arc is this? It's just, I flip open the page. Oh, God, I'm in the Sea Body arc. Oh, better go back. I love that stuff. It's really fun. It makes it feel like it's a legitimate book instead of, like, a supplement for your anime addiction.
Yeah.
But I've been mostly just reading light novels for the time being because it's just easier for me to get my anime dosage without having to really just focus so much on what time it is and am I holding up everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. And when I do watch stuff, I've been watching Community.
Yeah.
Which has been an absolute delight. I feel like every single episode I've watched, there's one quotable that I just want to use on people. So,
yeah, there's one quote you use on me all the time.
It's even worse if you live with me. Every time my roommate has been like, I'm going to go do this, I just go, I'll allow it. So, there you go. And I got a Troy and Abed in the morning coffee cup.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I should not be allowed to have expendable income because all I will do is invest it in stupid things that only temporarily make me happy. Screw investing it in things for my future. I don't want a future. I want a now.
I mean, shit, we probably don't have a future. Lambda variant, rise up. I'm over here waiting for that Omega variant to come around and just truly end us all.
Yeah, I was telling my roommate about it. I said, in 20 years, we'll be out here trying to survive from the Sigma variant. Having just survived Epsilon, you know. Yeah, that Delta variant thing has me worried for cons.
Yeah. I mean, shit, there's the Lambda variant in Japan.
Yeah, I've heard about that because I watch NHK, my trusted news source for Japan. So I don't know what the fuck's happening on here. The Kabul thing was a surprise for Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Japan news is nice. I get to learn about people who are still making clay pots in times of COVID. I get to hear about a woman who's carrying on her husband's sword making, you know, hobby. I don't have to hear about, like, bad things.
That does sound really cool, actually.
I really recommend it if you have a Roku, downloading the NHK app and just legitimately putting it on, because it'll always be a cool, fascinating documentary on. It is actually really cool.
Is it free?
It is. Ooh. It is free. And you can stream their documentaries. You can stream whatever you want. I'm going to just gush on the NHK channel because this is a very fucking aimless episode. They have Kawaii Nation, mm-hmm. where they just talk about cute things and cute things in Japan and the trends. No new episodes for a while, but it's been really fun. They've got the Miyazaki documentaries.
Ooh.
They've got Japanology, where they talk about Japan's advancements in things like libraries. Furushiki, the little wrapping cloths, mm-hmm. clocks, and digital pets. It's really fascinating, and it's free.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That's all I really got now.
Okay.
So, to today's major... news. We're going to talk news. We're going to talk news. Yeah, news time. It's Otaku News and Kali.
We got news?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the Funimation and Crunchyroll thing.
Okay.
Yeah. This is such a fly-by-the-pants episode. You're just like, yeah, okay, cool. Sounds nice. So, as we talked about in the previous episode, or I talked about while Amelia just said, okay, cool. It is done. Sony now owns Crunchyroll, and their plans are apparently to integrate the library into Funimation somehow, something like that. Which, if you are very familiar with Funimation, you know that's going to be a direct, that's going to crash the app massively. It's going to say, oh, geez, can't handle any of this, and it's going to crash. But I wanted to talk about, because I think you may be kind of interested in this. So it had to go through sort of a trust analysis, and it was agreed that Sony, according to the United States, whatever, that Sony buying Crunchyroll would not be considered a trust. And I find that kind of infuriating, but it's something I've kind of doted on for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of like, from a person who doesn't watch anime's appearance, I guess it doesn't look like a trust. Because you've got Netflix and Amazon and Netflix, Amazon, High Dive and all that.
Yeah, because in the grander scheme, the Funimation service and Crunchyroll service are both streaming services. And when you have Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Disney Plus, so on, then it just seems like a merger of content.
Yeah, but it's basically kind of, what I was kind of thinking about it is that it's more of an exporting company, you know? It's kind of, it handles exports as far as it goes to anime.
Yeah.
Which is how I kind of wanted it to be looked at, because, you know, those two are the primary, you know, distributors of live streaming anime, you know, not live streaming, but, you know, simulcast.
Yeah.
Netflix in America doesn't do simulcast. High Dive only gets one show. They basically pick the edgiest show and run with it. So I kind of was just thinking, like, why did this happen when it is primarily the two? I think of them as being exporters before anything else.
Yeah, I think it's because of, you know, certain lawmakers who look over the trust or the antitrust procedures. Don't really have a full understanding on the intricacies that people who are in the hobby or in the industry would be able to, like, separate into. So for the casual observer, a merger of Funimation Crunchyroll is no big deal, but for anime fans, it's a reduction of the funnel of anime, that especially in the West, of what we get.
Yeah. And
it's probably not to say that Funimation is going to be limiting now what we're going to get. I'm sure they're more than happy to expand their library.
Mm.
But it's the service. It's the fact that Sony has Funimation and Crunchyroll now and have morphed them into one, and they're not going with whatever video hosting service that Crunchyroll has, and they're going to keep whatever Funimation is using, which is absolute dog shit every time I think about it. Like, I know we rag on about fuck Funimation, but I have not seen a service like Funimation that continues to just trip over itself in every facet, whether it's desktop, Roku, Switch, mobile app, console, and not just for one person, but most every person I talk to or hear about has one issue or another, and it's not even the same issue. It's so many different issues. Subtitles not loading, the language preferences not saving, episodes just straight up not downloading.
Yeah, it's legitimately an issue, because I've never liked the Funimation app, because it doesn't work on any of, it doesn't work on my Roku. If it's on my Roku, then I usually won't get the apps. If I do it on my phone, it might not download the subtitles, like you said.
Yeah.
There's just so many problems with that Funimation app that I've had consistent problems with. I've contacted customer support, and they've never been helpful about it. It's always been the same guy who says, oh, we fixed it, and then I go to download an episode, and bada bing, bada boom, it is not fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really infuriating that this is going to be possibly the only thing we can get to watch anime on, you know?
And then there's the fact of, what does this mean for Verve? Because Verve is a collection of different sites or different streaming, not services,
yeah,
but
different
streaming producers.
Mm.
And Crunchyroll was you know, for better or worse, or was debatably their best card in the hole.
I'm just winning with these metaphors. I'm looking at it right now. Apparently, their deal includes Verve.
Really?
Yeah, it's saying that Sony's Crunchyroll purchase also includes Elation's Verve. So maybe they get all those as well. I don't know. I think it might depend on
like the individual producers, like Rooster Teeth, Mondo, High Dive, Cartoon Hangover, if they choose to go along with Verve as well.
Yeah, otherwise it's just you're getting Crunchyroll reskinned because that'd be kind of stupid. I don't know what the kind of deals are as far as that goes. It could just easily be that all of these are just bought out by Elation and they're, you know, a part of Verve or something like that. Because I don't think anybody's going to say, well, I was about to say, I don't think anybody's going to say, hey, I just want to subscribe to Rooster Teeth. But then I'm like, oh, yeah, people actually like Rooster Teeth.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of anybody just subscribing to Mondo or Cartoon Hangover. I mean, High Dive, sure. Rooster Teeth, sure. Mm-hmm. Rooster Teeth. Assorted other ones, yeah, but I don't know. I think it's just kind of interesting that that's going to be how the market has to morph around. And my concern was that Funimation does censor stuff, as we've seen. Well, Sony censors stuff. That's been a big issue with their video games. And now it's going to be an issue with anime because, I mean, they said, we want interspecies reviewers. They touched interspecies reviewers. Too hot and spicy. And threw it on the ground.
Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't read the synopsis, but what the heck is this? Get this out of my Christian anime Minecraft server.
They just throw it to the ground and the porn distributor says, I'll take that. Thank you. Which is really funny to me that they just said,
oh, my baby. One question I have that we can get into is we could talk about the difference between Funimation exclusives and Crunchyroll originals.
Yeah.
Right there in the name, you get the impression that Funimation exclusive is something that Funimation says, hey, we want this and only we want this. Or we want to be the only ones to show this. Meanwhile, Crunchyroll original is basically Crunchyroll saying, hey, we want to produce an anime to have on our site. But basically, they're pretty much the same thing, even though Crunchyroll has their logo on it as producer, it's functionally the same.
Mm-hmm.
So is that going to make a difference in what kind of content we get? Because, you know, even though Crunchyroll has had more misses than hits with its originals, it was still an effort in getting some original anime out there, except for the adaptations. Is it going to be a change with now Funimation is taking over? Like, is it going to be the only exclusive provider? Is that going to change what kind of anime gets produced or brought over?
Well, that's an interesting take because, you know, production takes so long on these shows that there may be stuff that's already in the pipeline that we don't know about that is coming out. Because for one thing, I was really shocked by was, I don't know if you ever became aware of it, but there was this show called High Guardian Spice.
Yeah.
Which people were like, ugh, Crunchyroll, what are you doing? And apparently that's coming out next season. So Crunchyroll just held back and then said, okay, you forgot about it. Here's High Guardian Spice. So there's easily, they could have, after some of the successes of their first wave of originals that they helped, you know, they joined a part of the production committee on, we could easily still be seeing that funneled in. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, I think Funimation's going to integrate into Crunchyroll's library is going to integrate into Funimation. But I think between the two, Crunchyroll's got that name, that brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you would want to kill it because, I mean, you go to their store, you can get exclusive Crunchyroll apparel and all that. And I think it'd be kind of foolish to just absolve that completely.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll morph the brand into something else. I don't know. It's so early on that we don't have a full sort of identity, like a full perspective on what Funimation's going to do. But I can fully voice that no matter what, I do not have confidence in them, and I think it's going to suck.
Yeah, because I was curious about if there was a possibility that, say, Tower of God Season 2 or God of High School Season 2 were, you know, in the planning stages or in the works, because, you know, the source material is out there, just needs to be brought in. If Funimation was going to just end those because it's, you know, it's not in their interest or it's not their property, or if they're going to continue that. And sort of, I imagine they would continue it because, hey, well, we just had Crunchyroll spend this money to start production on this anime. Now we can get that for less cost than it would for us to do it. I don't know. It's all very complicated and all kind of stupid.
Yeah, and we'll really have to wait to see what's going to go down with that. But again, I don't have any faith in Funimation or Sony. I mean, not because of just like I'm a pessimist, although I am, but more of just the nature of that I've never seen Funimation just make a brilliant swing for the bat, for the miss, swing for the baseball!
Swing for the fences.
Baseball analogy. I've never seen them like do that, so, you know, there you go.
I've never seen them do that thing where they pat the home plate with the bat while they're getting up at the scene ready to hit the ball.
Yeah, I've never seen them like win the home run. I've never seen them score the goal, you know.
I never see them slide.
Never see them slide. I've never seen them electric boogaloo. My analogy has burned out. And speaking of burning out.
Whoa.
Anime burnout. Is it real? Yes.
And we have been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast.
No, but I think that's actually a fascinating topic to go with for this discussional because I was actually talking to IKEA Plant, who's also a patron. Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah.
There you go.
Give us money and you'll get simmering content like this.
Yeah. But they're talking about their experiences lately and about how they're feeling kind of burned out with anime and how they just don't really have the time or want to watch it. And I think that's fascinating because I think it is. And I know I'm going to say this and then somebody's going to say, I've always watched anime. I've never been burnt out. You're just weak. But I think everybody who watches anime gets like a little bit of burnout or gets burnt out at some point in some shape, form, fashion.
Yeah. Because even though there's a plethora of different subgenres in the medium of anime, there are so many tropes that carry over throughout the whole industry that you start to recognize. Even from, say, your action adventure all the way to your crime mystery to your rom-coms, they'll all have tropes within their own genres and then across other genres that you start to recognize and eventually get tired of. And I know that's one factor that happens for me because I was watching my roommate trying to catch up on My Hero Academia, and he was getting into, I think, season 5, Soleil's one. And it was where all the students were in their work program with, you know, whichever superhero they were following. And it just ended the one with Bakugo, Todoroki, and Deku with Endeavor. And then it went to Ochako and Suri with whoever the fuck, I can't remember. And it was a fucking beach episode. And I looked at that and say, I fucking hate anime. Why does every show, no matter how popular or how unpopular, no matter how good or how bad, they always manage to shoehorn in a beach episode? God damn it. And I mean, it's not like I don't get it. It is titillating to see these cute anime girls in bathing suits. It's fan service. that's what it is. It's just fan service. And fan service exists for its own sake. You don't need to explain it. We all know why fan service exists. But I'm tired, you know? And, like, comparing that to, like, going through, like I said earlier, Bad Batch and Clone Wars. Sure, when Clone Wars started out, it was fucking rough. It was, for all intents and purposes, a kid's show. You have all these, like, characters existing to, like, teach a moral to kids. Like, remember, teamwork makes the dream work. Or, like, lying is bad, okay? But, you know, it like most cartoons in the West, once they get through their first couple seasons, then they start getting into the heavy stuff where the creators are like, let's introduce a little trauma in here to spice things up. And
yeah,
it feels like the Western cartoons take more of a have more of a belief in themselves, like with Adventure Time, Regular Show, Gumball, or sorry, The Adventurous World of Gumball. Let me say the whole name. And
yeah,
like Chowder and Flapjack. You know, they feel more. I guess
all these shows, and you aren't even gonna say Steven Universe.
Steven Universe, oops.
Yeah, I'm like blinks eyes confusedly.
It's been a while, okay.
It's been a while.
They take more of a unique / experimental take for themselves, even though they do have different. They have their own tried and true stuff to fall back on. And of course, filler show episodes. No show is without its filler episodes.
Even this show has a filler episode. It's happening right now.
Some would say this show is nothing but filler episodes.
Those people would be extraordinarily correct.
But it's something about anime where it just feels very tiring and... Like, you can only go so far before you have to just really stop and take a good long break. I know I had at least two throughout my life, throughout my anime watching career. And speaking of taking a long break, I'm going to take one and let you take the reins for this discussion, because I have no clever segue.
Well, I was kind of thinking that's kind of what you were saying as far as it goes to Western animation and Western storytelling as it relates, is that I don't watch too much Western television, obviously, because I'm an actual weeaboo.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I watch it, it is a profoundly new experience in some way, because I don't watch too much of it. Meanwhile, I consume anime en masse because there's so much anime.
Yeah.
So there are certain tropes that I get annoyed with. One of my least favorite tropes that every time I see it will instantly, like, if it happens, I'll usually drop the show. And that's the you hentai slap, and then it pans up to the sky.
Yeah.
If that happens, instant drop consideration. I do not care if I'd been enjoying the episode previously. I just hate that scream and then pan up to the camera. And it's such a staple at this point.
Yeah.
For just... Yeah. Pans up to the sky. Or stuff just... There's just so many tropes that can get annoying when you're overexposed to them. And that's part of the issue with anime and why you can suffer from burnout, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times am I going to watch a rom-com where we touched hands? Oh gosh. Indirect kisu.
Oh,
I mean...
He didn't look at me. It means our relationship is over. And you're like, just talk.
Or just miscommunications to a biblical level, which is something I just do not like. And it happens, I think, fairly frequently in anime, is that people don't say... what they're feeling. And yes, I know that a lot of these shows are high schoolers, and maybe as a high schooler, we didn't always say what we actually felt until we lashed out. I mean, there's a lot of terms and conditions that you have to sign up for. But it just becomes exhausting, especially when it seems like so many of the stuff that I want to watch or I'm getting exposed to is high school stories.
Yeah.
And which can be escapism, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice escapism to be placed in a world where there's no sense of just incoming dread. There's no, you know, like there's growth in high school stories. There's no finality of I'm an adult. This is what I do.
And it's good to have that sense of vicariously living through them and reliving some perhaps missed days of your own high school life. Like with Lucky Star, you get to feel like a high schooler being friends with these high schoolers and just going about the everyday life.
Yeah. But when half the shows that come out on a seasonal are stuff like Kimizawa Kimito was just your average guy, never talked to girls until one day he met a girl and she didn't, they had to hang out, but she can't confess her feelings. But then this other girl who does like him is too shy to talk to him, but it's a love triangle. Oh, geez, who's gonna win? And I'm just like, What is happening? And one of my favorite manga kind of exists in that realm. I mean, Kaguya-sama is basically, I like you. I like you too. Mm-hmm. What I don't want to say because I feel like I'll lose if I do. And it becomes just, you know, it's a repeated formula, but it has new things in it, you know?
Miki Makimura is just one of the guys. Until suddenly a new student comes in and joins her friend group, but she doesn't feel like she's one of the guys anymore. Is this true love, or is this just a misunderstanding?
Hanahimigawa is just your regular otaku. He loves video games, anime, and manga. But then one day when he's going out to get the latest Dragon Warrior game, he gets hit by a truck and sent to another world. Pause for applause. Now, I know Hana's like a more feminine name and it means flower, but shut up.
I like it, though. It's funny.
Now Hana is in a new world with god powers. And he's surrounded by five girls who all like him. He's out to defeat the demon lord. But can he, when he's surrounded by girls who just want all his time, find out? And I was reincarnated in a new world, and now I have to fight amongst my peers for a new place to live. Coming to Funimation.
Craig, speed that up.
Craig, speed that up.
Chobu Fujiwara does nothing but play Japanese RPG and watch anime. If he can get through his manga collection, but every time he goes to school, he just can't get these girls off his dick. What's an otaku to do? All he wants to do is go home so he can see his anime waifu pillow.
It's his little sister.
Well, yeah,
Akihito Arisagawa is best friends with the most popular guy in school. He has all the girls, but what is this? All the girls are suddenly into him. Akihito's not used to this kind of attention. But when he does, now he's cooking the bento boxes. And sewing their buttons on their shirts when they break for them. How could such an ordinary guy get all this attention?
Honda Azamizawa finally got a girlfriend, but there's one problem. She lives 500 years in the past. Can they maintain a relationship when they can't even maintain the timeline?
Oh, God. Ooh, I might actually be interested in
that
one.
That tag kind of sold it.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. This is supposed to be making fun of tropes, but that was kind of like, how are they talking 500 years in the past? What are they doing to the timeline? That's a good idea.
Let's write that down.
Right, write that down. Make that your submission for that contest. We're not going to enter.
Yeah, they're like, this doesn't fit any of the themes. Like, I don't care. It's because this is good.
I made a joke and then it actually became a thing. That's like how Tusk started. It'll be our Tusk. It'll be just an extreme dare. You keep just making new extreme plot points and weird things to happen, and I'll write it and make it go from plot to plot. That's what we'll do for our submission.
And then we'll have the spin-off light novel. I made a joke, but then it turned into a successful manga franchise.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Just as a disclaimer, we don't mean to imply that only anime is subject to this overabundance of tropes and like repetition of like things that happen. Like, you take a look at any crime drama on network TV, you have Law and Order, Law and Order SVU, Law and Order Criminal Intent, NCIS, NCIS New Orleans, NCIS
Nowlands.
Los Angeles, I guess. Bones. What was that one with Nathan Fillion? Where he's Castle. Any of these, yeah, and they'll eventually devolve into their own tropes, where if you've seen CSI, it'll go across the same stuff that you see in NCIS, where they have you have all these character types of the straight and narrow by the books cop, the kick-ass warrior princess detective, the classic old guy who's like 3 days away from retirement, and then you have the quirky and plucky lab technician who just got this job after working at Hot Topic.
Oh, or you've got your character who's a professional, but yet they're the joke character and they always make mistakes at the crime scene.
Yeah.
What do you mean I wasn't supposed to put my hands on the evidence? Clark, you imbecile, says the lead-in detective.
And of course you have the one who does autopsies and is into cadavers and is really way into it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that it's just devoid of the saying that everything anime is exclusive to that, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. It's just, it can be a comfort food, but you know, like, if I ate macaroni and cheese every single day, eventually I'm gonna get tired of macaroni and cheese. And that's kind of where I think a lot of burnout comes from, especially if you're not really diversifying yourself and you're just getting these things that don't tread new ground, you know?
I think it could also be that we're just exposing ourselves to a lot of stuff that aren't really fitting into our tastes. Like,
yeah.
Another example that I was going to have with the crime shows is fucking Gundam. Like, every Gundam show is going to have those same tropes of, like, the colonies want liberation from the corrupt Earth government. Oh, there's a new secret prototype. It's been stolen by the bad guys. And now the bad guy is working with the hero to defeat a third faction? Whoa! And now the lead of the bad faction is now going on his own way and is becoming the char of the series. Mr. Bushido. But still, I'm gung-ho about Gundam. I mean, but that wasn't intended. I just realized
Gundam.
That.
Yeah.
And like, I have no qualms about sitting down and just binging all of Gundam in a couple nights if I wanted to. And I could probably get through it, except for like some outlying shows, but that might just be because they're not good. And so it might just be...
Wing!
Watched it 6 times, finished it none. But it might be a case of, you know, stuff like Scarlet Nexus, like some of the vampire shows from last season.
Yeah.
And all these certain shows which don't really fit my taste, so I have no real interest in watching them. I still have interest in watching Dragon Maid and Sunny Boy, but I guess because it's lumped into the anime pot, that I feel like I can't really get into it. So, especially like you were saying earlier with a lot of it being high school shows, because we're not in high school anymore, unfortunately. Yeah.
Fortunately, high school sucked.
Yeah, high school sucked. Would take a redo, though, perhaps. But because we're not in high school anymore, seeing these silly high school drama happening when, with the joy of hindsight, we know what we would do in that situation. And, you know, it's not really our taste. That's kind of why with, like, Rent a Girlfriend, it was somewhat refreshing that this was set in college and not in high school. Mm-hmm. Although that might have been for legal reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't, like that website you showed me, you can't have a rental girlfriend if they're under 18 or a high schooler.
Yeah, speaking of which, new episode incoming, we rent a girlfriend and interview her.
She can't speak English, we can't speak Japanese.
But we've got her for an hour.
But we all speak money.
Oh, yeah, you're right, too, because what is the most refreshing shows of, or what are the most refreshing shows of the season for me? You know, it's stuff like Remake Our Life. It's stuff like Sunny Boy and Uramichi Onisan, because they're revolutionary in the fact that they have these new concepts or fresh spins on old concepts.
Mm-hmm. Especially Uramichi Onisan, and that is hitting that depressive midlife crisis. Like audience.
Literally, it's you in anime form, except working out. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's just, once you consume so much of anything, you do get kind of burnt out on it. And I think one of the biggest issues is I get burned out on a lot of things. There will be times when I really just don't want to play video games anymore.
Same.
Yeah, I mean, and I'll keep buying them though, because they'll be on sale, because I was like, whenever I get out of this rut, then I want to play Yakuza 3, 4, and 5 Remastered.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that literally happened. I'm not in a video gamey mood, but I saw them on sale, so I bought them. Same thing with a lot of games. And that's what happens with me with anime. I'll buy anime or light novels saying, yeah, I'm not in the mood right now, but one day I will be. And that burns you out even more, because you've got the stuff you know you have to go through at some point because you spent money on it. So there's a little bit of resentment there.
Yeah. And I guess that's just a fact of life, is that in any aspect, your interests will change over time. And, well, your interests might not change, but your desire for them will change over time. And even beyond, it's not like if you have depression, like both of us do, and we're like, I just don't know why, but I can't feel like doing any of this right now. But, you know, if I open up my Steam library right now and just take a look at what I have, I had a huge stint where I was playing like Civilization 5 and those types of games nonstop. And then I just dropped off like unexpectedly. And then I took on a different type of subgenre for video games, and right now I'm going back into space engineers and Kerbal Space Program, that kind of building rockets. And like I had a huge Halo phase back in the day, and it really dropped off, but now with Halo Infinite coming out, it might come back on. So it's just a changing of your times and your desire to try out new things to see where you're at as a person. Like my recent rekindling for Gunpla, I was huge into it, so much so that I got Matt into it, and then I dropped off for months, and now I'm getting back into it.
And that's what I was saying, is that you bought a lot of Gunpla too.
Yeah,
during that phase you bought an excessive amount, and that's you know, that's kind of what I've done with anime. I buy so every time anime goes on sale, like DVDs or whatever, I'll say, ooh, I want this. So I can watch it, you know, in pristine Blu-ray quality without streams. And then I don't get around to watching it, and I just put it off and say, eh, I'll do it later. I mean, I think one of the biggest problems that you could have with anime is putting so much on your plate.
Yeah.
It just like with anything. If you put so much on your plate, then you're not going to want to eat it because it just seems like a Herculean effort just to get through. There's so much you can do to burn yourself out on it. Just rushing through things, going at mock speed. But you got to take breaks, I think.
Yeah.
I take breaks.
You got to treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. Get yourself other hobbies, you know? You know? You gotta, to avoid the burnout, you gotta either go fucking wild and out, like for every show you like that is in your comfort space, maybe go somewhere else, you know?
Yeah.
I think one of my things is that if you really want to test yourself on how much you can like anime, go watch Bakemonogatari. You know, put yourself on anime hard mode. Watch it on a computer, though, so you can constantly press the space bar to read. Go watch something just out of your wheelhouse and just kind of see the horizons. Unless that show's like over 50 episodes. I don't fuck with shonens.
Go through the entire Fate series.
Yeah, go through the entire Fate series without a guide. Just pick wherever you want to start. Start with Ilya, Prisma, Liner, whatever. Go start with that. You know, watch a SysCon show. You know, just diversify things and maybe you'll get a new taste and that can help you. You know, take a break, do some other things when you're getting that really big burnout urge.
Yeah. And we had that for the show too when we were wrapping up Animisery and we were just so done with anime. And then we got through Miyazaki and our spirits were rekindled. Especially yeah. After watching Spirited Away. Maybe not after watching Wind Rises, but listen to our Wind Rises episode to find out why.
Yeah.
So sometimes you might just need to either take a vacation or just maybe see the absolute pinnacle and, you know, or even revisit old stuff to rediscover why you like something.
Mm-hmm. You know, just take a, it's, I don't think the thing that you want to avoid is absolute burnout because when I first got into anime, I was consuming anime en masse. Mm-hmm. You know, I had my computer filled with torrents. I was watching it every day. I would do the classic, you know, meme of new anime fan who binge watches, you know, five shows in one day.
Yeah.
Seasoned anime fan who watches one episode a day. Because I really got like that. I would watch so much of anime in a day. I watched Batum in just one sitting on my bed. I watched a lot of shows that way. And then I got burned out. I just couldn't watch anime at all.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in it. And that's something that you want to avoid because anime does have stories that you aren't going to get in any other medium that you just won't find in Western entertainment. Eastern entertainment, Japan goes, I'm confused by your analogy. So there's a lot of things you really need to just do to prevent yourself from getting burned out. I mean, in all aspects too. I mean, fuck this. This podcast is on dangerous of being burned out for real. If I have to not binge another show in one night because we couldn't decide, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. But all hobbies have that point. Yeah. And I think anime just suffers the most because once you get exposed to anime and you really find that you love it, it's hard not to drown yourself.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
And it's hard to say what the effects of burnout were back in the day before the rise of, before the advent of streaming. I'm sure it existed. I'm not going to claim that it didn't, but I feel like it's, and this is all just conjecture, I feel like it's gotten a lot more prevalent with streaming sites and seasonals because you have so many new anime coming out each season. I can't even fathom how much is coming out per year. It's like, what, 20 shows per season at least?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere around that realm.
So if you're trying to be a seasonal person, Even the act of keeping track of what's coming out and seeing what you like or what you might be into and having to follow that week after week, that's going to lead to some heavy stress and some missed opportunities. So if you're starting to feel some burnout, something I thought about doing is just taking a full-on break from seasonals and go to your plan to watch list. You know, that hollowed grave of the infinite forest of the plan to watch list where you added shows that you were into and never got to. And just go through, pick out one that you remember adding because you really want to watch it and actually watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to the plan to watch list. Pick something that it doesn't, that it really can be something you might get into. I personally don't have anything like on my plan to watch list that I just will watch. A lot of it is just, is me being that anime fan who goes, I need to watch this so that I can look legitimately like I've got everything I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking through my watch list right now, and it's, actually, it's full of garbage. Never mind.
Yeah,
don't trust me on that.
I got the Kiss and Sis OVA on my watch list. So, grain of salt.
Yeah, I've also got all the Ghost in the Shells.
Ooh.
And Macross, like I'm ever going to get around to that. Like I'm going to actually watch Macross at some point in my life. But hey, I mean, I feel like it is, just as I was saying earlier, so easy to just descend into the madness of getting burned out, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I got Riding Bean on my watch list.
Riding Bean?
Riding Bean.
I've got
Bean Bandit and his partner, Rally Vincent.
I've got Strike the Blood, like I'm going to watch Strike the Blood.
Sounds cool.
It does, doesn't it? That's why I added it, and then I found out what it was.
What is it?
It's Magic High School Vampire. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Wait, did you say vampire?
Yeah.
What was the name of the show again?
Strike the Blood.
Makes sense.
Strike the Blood. And well, an Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Then we want to watch that one too. Monster. You know, there's just a lot of stuff. I could watch, but instead I'm going to just drown myself in seasonals and eventually get burned out. Who knows when that'll be? Do we really have anything else more to talk about?
I'm reading through the synopsis for Strike the Blood, and my eyes are rolling back.
Well, there you go. You heard it first on the Otaku Melancholy Podcast. Don't watch Strike the Blood.
It's basically, kid is an average high school student. He's taken to a high rank academy where he realizes he's basically the fourth Hokage. And it's like, oh, hijinks happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've always heard it as being compared to just being a certain magical index, but not a certain magical index, which is also on my list. There's an episode. The shows we're not going to watch, but said we were planning to. I'm just full of content. I'm full of content today and exhaustion, but hey, mostly content. So is this it? Is this show?
I guess so. So in conclusion, because all all great essays end with in conclusion, if you want to avoid burnout, just know when you're starting to get tired and take a break. Either try out a different hobby for a little while or go through your plan to watch list or rewatch a show that you really liked. Sometimes that's just what you need.
Yeah, take a break. Don't absolutely burn yourself out on anime. It's understandable if you can't have a watch list that's got 500 shows because you have to take breaks. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Some people can't do it, and you know what? I can't do it. And it's okay.
Maybe watch a bunch of anime movies, because those are a nice, good sit-through for a night.
And they're always good, usually.
Usually. Grain of salt.
So just, you know, make it like you're on the highway of anime and pull over and take a nap if you have to. Don't let yourself fall asleep at the wheel and crash. just pull over. Take a break. Take a nap. Play on your phone. Play Doodle God. I don't know. Play Doodle Jump. Whatever.
You say that, but I was on the road trying to get back home, and I drifted off like 3 times. Only woke up because of those bumps on the side of the road. And I'm like, I can't stop and take a little nap because I gotta get home to record.
Oh my gosh, way to make me feel like absolute crap now. Yeah, you gotta take a nap sometimes. Like, you just gotta take a nap sometimes. And speaking of taking naps.
And speaking of drifting off the road, we have been the Otaku Melancholy Podcast.
Hey.
We have been your hosts,
Matt
and Audrey. Catch us every... Still doing Sundays?
Yeah, still doing Sundays.
I haven't been on in a while. Catch us every Sunday at our website at otakumelancholy.com, where you can find our previous episodes. Most of them include me. And you can also find our other streaming sites where we're hosted and our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord, and our Patreon.
Special shout out to our current patrons for supporting the show and helping us make this content. Special shout outs go to IKEA Plant, Mello, and Moe Soda, or Amelia. Support the podcast and get your name said at the end of the show when everybody has already left. And speaking of people who have left this world for the worse by their departure, today's quote comes from Robin Williams. As he has once said, reality is just a crutch for people who can't cope with anime. He also called Evangelion Evangelion, but you know, whatever. You get everybody gets one.
Fuck the crutch, I got the wheelchair.
I've got the automated breathing system. I've got life alert on mine.
The iron lung.
All right. Well, that's show. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care.
Gambate. Should I say Gambare? I need to study my Japanese more. You know what? Gambate. There you go. Bada bing, bada ba. I've been saying bada bing, bada boom too much. I said it literally twice in this episode, 3 times, and I've said it to you at least 5 times in chat. Let's end this episode already. I'm very stressed.
Yeah, I don't know how many times you said it, but I've I have not noticed it until you pointed out.
Now you're just like, all he's doing is bada bingin', bada boomin'.